The scriptures are Luke 10:38-42 and John 11:1-6 and 20-27. The title of the sermon is Consider the Marys in Luke and John. Diana Butler Bass is a luminary for me. She is a church historian, and she writes about American culture and the church. She preached just a few weeks ago at the closing of the Wild Goose Festival, a Christian festival of arts and theology, scripture, and conversation about being church, which happens each July in North Carolina since its inception in 2011. I was inspired hearing her sermon, and I'm sharing the gist of this whodunit story in my own words. We know the story of Mary and Martha in Luke. It was a lectionary text last week that I preached on. It was the text I preached on. Martha is the doer, and let's be honest, we need doers. Mary is the listener in that story, and we need listeners. This story plays a small part in today's story, which is about textual transmission, how the Bible came to be what we know it as today. This may sound dry, but today's story from the world of Bible scholars is earth-rumbling, if not earth-shattering, as we consider our Bible as a sacred text that points us to God. I remember getting to seminary and being confused about biblical characters. What? Simon also has the name Peter, Saul becomes Paul, and all the Marys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, etc. We hear Mary and Martha in the Luke story and Mary and Martha in John 11 and 12. And we assume they are the same sisters in the same household. In Luke, Mary and Martha are from a certain village. In John, they are from Bethany. There are problems in believing these two households are the same. One problem is that Bethany is in the opposite direction of where Jesus is traveling in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, it is a certain village. Secondly, however, in Luke, Martha welcomed Jesus to her home. The only way it's Martha's home is if she has no father, husband, or brother, because they lived in a patriarchal society, meaning no brother Lazarus, as in the story in John. Many of us for centuries have conflated these two stories in Luke 10 and John 11, believing there are two sisters, Mary and Martha, and a brother Lazarus living in Bethany. But we have a detective story ahead of us that doesn't just surmise these are different Marys, but is hugely persuasive they are different Marys. We have conflated these stories in our imaginations, and our tradition and biblical scholars in the past have done the same. It would be as if Nisa Johnson did such and such, but it was really an unrelated Nisa Clark. As if Nick Costanza had a home in Chicago and Nick Bellamy had a home in Oak Lawn. In this comparison between Luke and John, the question is, who is the Mary in John 11? John 11 begins, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Elizabeth Schrader was a master's student in 2017 studying this passage, and her discovery has turned biblical scholarship upside down in the last few years. Elizabeth Schrader was a singer-songwriter who felt a nudge to study Mary Magdalene, and so she enrolled in General Theological Seminary in New York to learn more. Schrader studied with a professor who taught her Greek and Aramaic and Coptic, all the languages you need to read original texts from the first, second, and third centuries. Her professor encouraged her to look not at what others had said about the John verse, secondary sources, as they're called, but to do some original research, find out something new. Lest you think Bible scholarship is boring, here's just a little intrigue. Biblical scholars going back to the 20th century finds of the Nag Hammadi texts, which turned up a lot of fragments with close parallels to biblical texts, and the Dead Sea Scrolls, those scholars jealously guarded their work. Those fragments were not shared for decades. The fragments were kept unavailable to many scholars, guarded by those with connections, money, and time to travel. Back in the 1980s, some insightful biblical scholar who was also good with computers figured out how to piece together the dribbles of these fragments that had, in fact, been published here and there and actually create a whole, thus making them available to all scholars. I, for one, was cheering his creativity that created more access for more people. But in addition to the 20th century finds, there are many biblical fragments from the very early church that have been cared for their 1900 years or less of history. Most of these early manuscripts, too, were available only to the well-connected scholars with money and time to travel. They have been unavailable to the average MA and PhD student. These fragments are known by their numbers. Papyrus 66 is the oldest and most complete text we have of the Gospel of John. It's dated around the year 200. By comparison, the earliest whole New Testament or Christian Testament we have is dated to the 4th century Papyrus 66 is housed in Geneva, Switzerland, and in the past, someone like Elizabeth would not have been able to see this text because of, well, lack of connections, authority, and possibly time and money. But with all these fragments photographed and available online, she had access. Schrader brought her fresh eyes to this papyrus online. She sees the first sentence in Greek, and she read, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Mary." Our Bibles say Mary and Martha. She noticed something no other biblical scholars have noticed, that Mary is spelled in Greek. The Greek letter is essentially M-A-R-I-A, and the letter I had been changed by an editor to T-H. The theta in Greek, which makes a new name, Martha. It is true that the original text is not a very good sentence. It reads like this: "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary, and his sister Mary." It reads as if the writer is highlighting that Lazarus had a sister and they lived in this village together. But clearly, someone had changed the original text to read Mary and her sister Martha. Mary became two people. In this manuscript, the oldest in the world of the Gospel of John that we have, an editor changed not just this first sentence, but all the occurrences of Maria to Martha. Every singular sister is changed to sisters, plural. The editor wanted to make the texts in Luke and John agree. At Christmas, when we tell one Christmas story, we are harmonizing two completely different nativity stories in Matthew and Luke into one. Someone in the 4th century took the 200-year-old text of the Gospel of John and made it harmonize with Luke. And we have been telling his version of the story for 1,800 years. Schrader's discovery in 2017 leaked out, and soon some folks at Harvard learned of it and asked to publish her discovery in an article in the Harvard Theological Review. A pretty good start to a career as a Bible scholar. In addition, in 2019, a German organization, which is humbly known as the Guardians of the New Testament, also found out about her discovery. They consider it their responsibility to make sure our Bibles are translated into many languages and are the most accurate and precise based on the original manuscripts. they asked Schrader to present her evidence. And in their understated way, they said, "Well, we might need to change something here." That's my German accent from my grandmother. This kind of discovery is as if a copy of our Constitution was discovered that didn't have enslaved people valued at 3/5 of a person, but as whole persons. As if we discovered a second manuscript of Romeo and Juliet where the couple doesn't die. As if we discovered the end of Beethoven's 10th symphony penned in his hand. New Testament biblical scholars around the world in the highest circles of prestige are debating Schrader's work. There is more evidence of Mary being the sole player in John 11 and 12. Let's look at the second part of the reading from John. In our Bibles, it is Martha who says to Jesus, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." But one early church historian, Tertullian, lived and wrote at the time of Papyrus 66, when it was recorded in about 200 CE. He wrote about the text in John, and in his account, he says, "Mary, confessing him, Jesus, to be the Son of God." Tertullian says it was Mary who confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. This is more evidence that the original story was only about Mary. Many now believe that the story in John is about one sister, Mary. The editor who changed Mary to Martha may have wanted to harmonize the stories, or he could have even been part of an early church disagreement, or even a fight, if you will. Here is the potential early church conflict. There are only two Christological confessions in the New Testament. A Christological confession is when a person says, "Yes, Jesus, you are the Christ," which is kind of important in our Christian tradition. There is the same confession in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here is a quiz. Who says you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Yes, it's Peter. And in response to this, Jesus says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." The other Christological confession is by our relatively minor figure, Martha. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." Pretty much the same exact words as Peter. But Martha disappears from history. You see where this leads. If scholars are right, following Schrader's work, if it is not Martha at all, but Mary, this is something to pay attention to. And if this Mary is not just one among many Marys, but is Mary Magdalene, we have a whole new ballgame. John gives the most important confession in the New Testament to a woman, and it could be Mary Magdalene, someone significant. A few verses after her confession that Jesus is the Messiah, she is also the first witness to the resurrection in the Passion story, the crucifixion and testimonies to the resurrection. There is continuity in the narrative if Mary, in the story of Lazarus, who testifies to Lazarus being raised from the dead, is the same Mary Magdalene who testifies to Jesus' resurrection. There is one more eye-opening supposition in this whodunit mystery. Mary Magdalene is supposed to be Mary from a town called Magdala. I have not been to Israel-Palestine to see the sites, but I understand there is a village, Magdala, along the Sea of Galilee. But this village did not exist in the first century, which leads to the possibility that Magdala was not a town, but a title. Magdala in Aramaic means tower. You see what this could mean? Mary the tower. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus and Peter have a discussion, and Peter makes his confession. "You are the Son of God." And Jesus responds, "You are Peter, the rock." And in the Gospel of John, Jesus and Mary have a discussion. Mary confesses Jesus as the Messiah, and she may have become known as Mary the Tower. We know about many controversies in the early church. Could this be evidence of one more? I am reminded of the very early catacomb in Rome, where a woman is depicted serving communion. Women, of course, lost this authority soon after because Christianity came to be formed in a patriarchal culture. Here is the possibility of what happened. Mary was divided into Mary and Martha. The confession of Jesus as the Christ is reassigned from Mary to the newly created Martha, a minor figure. Could this mean that Mary lost out as an authoritative figure in the early church? I am sure in the coming years we will hear much more about this discussion. It's a biblical whodunit. It's entirely plausible that we are looking at an argument in the early church: Peter the Rock or Mary the Tower. Diana Butler Bass reports that she was at Starbucks in Virginia when Schrader told her about her discovery. Butler Bass shares that she cried and said, "Mary is indeed the tower of faith. That our faith is the faith of the woman who would become the first person to announce the resurrection. Mary the witness, Mary the tower, Mary the great, and she has been obscured from us. She has been hidden from us, and she has been taken away from us for nearly 2,000 years. What if the other story of Mary hadn't been hidden? What if Mary in John 11 hadn't been split into two women? What if we'd known about Mary the Tower all along? What kind of Christianity would we have if the faith hadn't only been based on Peter, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church? But what if we'd always known, Mary, you are the tower, and by this tower we shall all stand." Amen.